You guys ready to talk about wholeness a little bit? Yeah? All right, get your notes out. Let's get into the Word. So a quick review. So if you weren't here last week, we'll just do a really quick review. We got it's 11 o'clock right now. We'll take about 5 minutes on review. Remember I started off by asking you the abundant life question? Talked about, have you ever asked yourself, am I living the abundant life? And what does that mean? And I've grown up in church since birth. I was in church, going to church every Sunday. It was not an option for me growing up. It was, you know, just something we did. It wasn't like a bad thing. I loved church because we had a good big church fun. They had great activities for kids and stuff. But of course, you know, the alarm goes off and I'm sure I was like any other kid, you know, I don't want to go, you know, but I had to go to church. And going through church, you read the Bible and you see all this stuff that happened in the past. You read all these great stories of biblical truths of Noah and Abraham and walking through the sea and all these great stories. And so you kind of get trained to think about what happened in the past, and that's not for me and that's not me today. Are you with me? So you kind of get that mindset where, yeah, that's good and those are stories and it's all true and I believe that and God did it, and but yet those stories don't match up with how we live sometimes. And so there's a disconnect there. And when Jesus came, he wanted to bridge that gap, that disconnect between what God did in the Old Testament and what God wanted to do through the New Testament or the New Covenant or the new and better agreement or the new and better contract that God wanted to set up with us. And we'll look more into that in a little bit. But God wanted to bridge that gap of the disconnect so that we could start understanding what God's desire for us was and is. God's desire for you and me is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in God's power, and to experience the fullness of God. All that He has for us, He wants us to walk in that. But of course, if it was super easy, we wouldn't be having church because we'd just be walking in it. It would be great, right? Whole earth would be saved already. So there is a price. There's a price to put and crucify the flesh, like Paul talks about. We die daily, right, to our own desires and own ways. And where there's this battle between spirit and flesh constantly, what our flesh wants to do and what the Spirit of God wants to do. But when we choose more and more and we align up with the Spirit of God in our life, we start bridging that gap and we see God activated in our life and we start seeing the power of God work more and more. And so I think that disconnect was bridged when Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. We talked about what that word meant. We talked about that the word means exceedingly above whatever you could ask, think, or imagine. It was beyond the borders in every direction. That's what that word meant. Then we looked at some roadblocks, and this is important as we go on this subject, because we're going to be on this subject for a few weeks. And I want you to understand in your mind that there is roadblocks set up. And we talked about how Jesus said that the traditions of man, the teachings of your prior generations, can adversely affect you in a negative way if you're not careful. And he said something real strong. He said, the traditions of men have made the Word of God of zero effect in your life because of your traditions. So you got to be careful what you learn growing up from your parents. You got to be careful what you learn growing up in the world and from church and in Christian Western church, because it's not all great teaching. And so we looked at those roadblocks about poor teaching, that we can't let poor teaching, pastors, parents, leaders, or friends, you know, get us down the wrong path and not get our eyes expecting what God has for us. We also looked at current situations or experiences. You can't let your current experience, how negative it might be, affect what God's Word says. I'll give you an example. You all know my mom's sick, right? She's been battling breast cancer for years. To the world and to the doctors, she is on her last chapter, okay? Basically, she's on hospice, which means we're going to manage your pain while you die. Okay, so that's the world's view of her. So, and we're going through this. We just got to spend yesterday with her, which is great. And we're praying and believing. She's believing. We're trusting God, but we're fighting. We're not just going to go, oh yeah, you're dying, so hey, let's just spend a few more days together, Mom, and make it good. Okay, that you can do that, but I'm choosing in my life not to do that. I'm going to still have good times with her and spend time with her, but I'm going to choose till the very last breath she takes. I'm believing and fighting for her because I believe that that she should go out differently than she's the enemy's trying to take her out right now. That's my belief. I thought the same thing with my dad, and he died too early. He was only in his low 70s. And so, but I'm still going to fight. So no matter what my current circumstance is, it doesn't change God's word. Amen. So as I was praying, I'm like, you know, I pray to God and I try and talk him into things. But I use his word back at him because that's what he loves. I'm telling you, Papa God loves it when you pray and your word says this, God. He loves it. He loves that. And because it comes from a good heart of, hey, God, I'm just trying to be in alignment with what you said. And so trying to talk God into stuff. And I said, God, you know, man, if you heal my mom, I mean, man, that's like, you can see the cancer on her. I mean, it's intense and not good. And man, if that skin fell off, and we got brand new baby skin on there. Do you know how many people get saved, God? I'm telling God this because, you know, he may not know. No, I'm just kidding. Just reminding him, hey, God, you know, this could be, we could have revival. I would post on Facebook videos preaching and I doing all this stuff. And I said, then it would really help me know, like, you know, what we're teaching is right. And he's like, whoa. Wait a minute. Regardless of what I choose to do with your mom has nothing to do with what this says. You are to preach the word regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of if you're battling sickness, whether you're battling a tough relationship, whether you're battling job security or fears that you're doing, whatever you're in right now, you can't use that to say what God's word says. Your circumstances do not dictate the word of God. The word of God dictates and overstates and overpowers your circumstance. Okay, so that's a roadblock that many of us have because what we do as humans, we think that we've got it all going. And so we think, well, I'm in my current circumstance. God's not doing what I want him to do. So therefore, it just must be his will. And we try and figure out some way to make that right or good or pleasing to us. Instead of going, wait a minute, I'm in a peculiar circumstance. God's word says this. My life's not matching up to this word, so God, help me match up to your word. Amen. And let's see what happens. And in the meantime, trust him. No matter what happens, you're going to love him anyway. Yeah. Right? Because you can do all kinds of things, and we don't know the heart of God on every matter. He still has, there are still some mysteries in life. And he's revealed, if you study the word mystery in the Bible, you'll find that God has revealed lots of mysteries that were held secret for years and years through Christ. We have an abundance of that. But there are still things. We don't know the day we're going to die. We don't know all the circumstances of what will happen if so-and-so lives a little longer, a little shorter, or if a kid goes or an old person goes. It doesn't matter. God knows all things, so you trust him. But just because you trust him doesn't mean you just go, okay, whatever happens, happens, and I'm living exactly the way I need to live perfectly, so I'm just going to just, oh, God, just do whatever you want to do. No, God calls us to stand and fight. Paul makes it clear that once we've done everything to stand, we stand therefore and we start praying and fighting and battling and standing for what God's word says we can have and do and be. Amen? We got that in our hearts? Because this is a concept, guys, that we really need in our hearts. We really need this deep down to be able to walk in this newness, to be able to walk with wholeness. And the completeness that God has for us, we're going to have that down there. These roadblocks, poor teaching, current situations, past failures and hurts often dictate what we believe and how we act. Also, number four, we talked about fear, about the children of Israel being in fear and not taking their promised land. Remember, the children of Israel had a promised land that was theirs. God already gave it to them, but there was another kingdom going to keep. So they had to go in and fight and take it. It's the same for you in this life, from your first breath till your last. You have a promised land that you can walk in the abundance of God. Doesn't mean you're going to have struggles and disappointments and setbacks, but it means that you have to stand and know that it's there and believe it that it's there and not be afraid of what it takes to walk in that. Because it's about the journey. He's creating you to be someone for eternity, not just here. Just here is just a piece of grass that grows up and doesn't even make it to maturity. It's gone with the wind. It's done. The sun scorches it. Gone. That's how quick our lives are, guys. But God has something bigger, destiny for you, that this life is important of what you do in it. And then we talked about unbelief and doubt. And that would be another roadblock of walking in the fullness of God. So we ended that God's word was the final authority, and I think we got that, but it's important to be reminded that our current circumstances do not dictate what God's word says. Now, on your notes, we're going to talk about the wholeness of God, and we're going to continue to kind of define what that word means, because it's not really a word that's used a whole lot today, but you'll see more why. It's just a good word to describe what God wants here. So you were created in your notes there, first of all. You were created, this principle we've got to get in our hearts, you were created to function in union with God. So in the beginning, God created man and woman, and they were created to work in union. They were image bearers of God. They were created to live and operate in union, connection with God, okay? Just like this speaker right here has nothing unless it has power plugged into it. This speaker was created to work in union with power and a soundboard and microphones. It was created that way. When you take and do something outside of this creation, you bring chaos and you have dysfunction. So you can plug something else in here that wouldn't fit and it wouldn't work, right? Or you can give too much power, it could blow the speaker. Or you can misuse this and not do what the operator, the designer of the speaker said to do, and you'll bring dysfunction, pain, and misery because you're not operating within the user's manual of the equipment. Are you with me? Because you are a being that was designed to be plugged in, right? Plugged into God. We have this plug, right? Power, nothing, right? This was created, but if it's not plugged in, it's not in its purpose. So you and me were created to function in union with God. Like the speaker, like a radio, you have to be plugged into the power. And sin came, shattered that union, right? And then redemption restored us back to God. So I want you to get this concept down, because you got to understand that we were created in the beginning to be in perfect union with God. Sin came in and broke the union, right? Then from then on, we were all born into sin, and we had to come to the knowledge of Christ, who brought us back into union, or the ability to come back and plug into God. So we got to understand that the work Christ did on the cross fully restores the union. It's not less than, it's actually even greater union, because of what Christ did. So you and me have the authority and the right, I'm going to use that word a lot in the next few weeks, the right to have union with God. You have the right to be connected back into God and have full access to all that God has. That's exciting and kind of scary. So Christ, in your notes, I want you to get this down in your hearts, Christ makes a way to wholeness. So through Christ, the door is open for you to walk through and start to experience this abundant life. You must go through him. I love the song we sang, whisper his name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You better get comfortable with the name Jesus, because without that name, you and me have nothing. And that is the only name that's above every other name, right? So we got to get used to that name, and it's through Christ that he makes us available to plug back in to the power source of God and have the resources of heaven at our disposal to use in our vessel. I mean, that's exciting stuff. And I know a lot of us think, man, if we could fully tap into that power, what could change? What could happen, right? And so it's important that we learn how to tap into that power and come back in and understand our union. The union and the power, the option is already there for us. We've just got to access it and take it all. Are you with me? Yep? Okay. Let's define wholeness. So wholeness in the dictionary means this: the state of forming a complete and harmonious whole. Unity. Or another definition says the state of being unbroken or damaged or undamaged. So it's the state of being something that was broken and getting it all perfectly glued back to complete wholeness, just like the original intent, right? So God has an original intent in each of us. Sin came in and broke us down, got us into sin. We were disconnected, but through Christ, we are brought back to wholeness or completeness or original intent. That's exciting. When you think about the sin and all the junk in the world that came through Adam and Eve's sin, but how much more came through the one man who lived perfectly, right? So complete union. Then I want to look, so we look at that word, but really, where do we get this word in the Bible? And I want you to look at your notes there and fill in the definition for sozo. Sozo is an interesting Greek word, and some of you heard sozo. A lot of churches have sozo, prayer, soaking, blah, 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 good stuff. But I want to look at that word in the Bible because it's an interesting word. And the word's translated, one of the translations is saved. And many times it's translated saved. But let's look at the definition. This word sozo can mean to deliver or to protect. This word can also mean to heal, to preserve, to help to do well. Or the last one is to be or to make whole. So where do I get wholeness from is from sozo. Because God wants us and has come to sozo us. He's come to save us. That's a translation a lot of us read. Oh, Jesus saved me. Well, what does that mean? Well, you could say, Jesus makes me whole. Jesus puts me back into union with God. Jesus puts me back into a connection with the source. Jesus gives me the ability to have full access to all that he has by his own contract, which was sealed in his blood. So therefore, you have a legal right. Ooh, fun stuff. Let's look at this word, because this word is pretty awesome. Sozo in the Greek. Let's look at a few verses. First one, John 19:10. I think that's in your notes there, just for reference. But you all know it. For the Son of... Luke 19:10. Thank you, yeah. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to sozo the lost." So we read that, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save." Yeah, he saved us. But that word is so much more rich, so much more fuller when you think about the Son of Man came to seek and to make whole those who were lost, or to heal, or to preserve, or to protect, or to deliver, or to make to do well. Do you know that God wants you to do well? Do you know that the spirit of poverty that's in many cities in America says that that demon evil spirit says that poverty is part of your life and you can never get out of it? But part of salvation is God wants to make you whole. And this isn't about material or money per se. It's more about you being able to live and to help others. God wants you to be a vessel. So really, sozo is about making you whole, making you well, making you a blessing instead of a curse. Right? The Old Testament, you want to be the head or you want to be the tail? You want to have a foreign country rule you, or do you want to be in rule of yourself? Do you want to have sickness and disease, or do you want to have health? Do you want to have failed crops and drought, or do you want to have abundant crops? Are you with me? So that's the foundation God laid as far as wholeness. What do you want? Well, it means a lot more than just saving me from something or getting delivered from hell. In fact, in this talk about wholeness, I want to make sure you guys understand that salvation is not just escaping hell. A lot of Christians think that being saved, or sozo, is about not going to hell. And if that's all you think about the word saved, you are missing 99.9%. Because there's so much more to it. And so in your mind, make sure you realize that salvation, what Jesus did, is much more than just saving us and giving us fire insurance, saving us from hell. It's about complete life. It's about being plugged back into the Master. Another one, John 3:17. So we know the familiar John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only..." That whosoever... Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be sozo through him." The world might be made whole, brought back into union, plugged back in to their Creator. This is a big deal, church, man. We are getting the opportunity to be plugged back into God just like Adam and Eve, and so much better, because the Bible declares over and over, but in Hebrews it says the new covenant, the new promise that Jesus did, has better promises than the old. And that's good news. Because the old wasn't necessarily bad or evil, because it was good. It showed us who Christ was. But even in the Old Testament, there's some good promises that God has for you. But the new is even better. And we'll talk more about that. But God did not send his son to condemn, but in order that the world might be sozo through him. Let's look at a few verses that word is also used in. One of my favorites in Luke 8:45. You can write that down in your notes. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, right, that was healed? Listen to what the Bible says. And Jesus said in verse 45 in Luke chapter 8, Jesus said, remember he was in the big crowd and people, the Bible says they were enthronging him or they were pushing in. The crowd was so thick. You ever been in a thick crowd where you kind of get claustrophobic and get nervous where you just can't move and it's like, whoa, this is weird. I don't feel like I'm in control, just pressing in. Jesus was in a crowd that thick to where the disciples laughed at him because Jesus said, who touched me? Well, everybody, Jesus, who hasn't touched you is a better question. But he knew because the power had left him. And Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you on every side. And actually, if you look into the Greek word for pressing in, it means to almost to the point of suffocation. So it was an intense crowd. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive power is gone from me. In verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. And how she had immediately been healed. And Jesus said to her daughter, your faith has sozo you. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So it wasn't that she was just saved from hell and now a Christian, right? She was made whole through the relationship and the power of Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus do? He was the conduit. God, the Father, all source and everything we need. Jesus came as our mediator. He's connected to God. And the woman touched his garment. And what happens when in electricity, when you make the right contacts? Power flows, right? So she got in contact with the door, Jesus, the conduit, the connector. She got plugged in. She said, oh, here we go. I'm plugging back. I'm going to plug into Jesus. I'm going to grab that garment because I know he's came to make me complete. And once he grabbed that thing, she knew. She believed in her heart. Once I touch him, I'm connected to the God of all heavens, the creator of the universe, the God that made me, the God that made this body that's not working right. He can obviously fix it. So let's get connected in with him. Are you with me? Powerful word. Another cool one, a couple stories, and I won't get into them too much, but one you can read is in Luke 10:46. That's about when Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Great, great story. I'll let you read that on your own this week. Good thing to digest, but at the end he says, go your way. Your faith has sozoed you, has made you whole. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus. Also, another great story that you're probably familiar with is Jesus, when he cleanses the 10 lepers. Remember, 10 got healed, and how many came back? Just one. And so he said to the one, your faith has sozoed you or made you whole. And so really, what I want you to get from these stories is that salvation is wholeness. Salvation is wholeness. It equals the same thing. I want you to start thinking in your mind and switch from being saved from hell and getting to go to heaven to God through Christ has given me wholeness and has plugged me back in, and now I have full access to the Father in every area of my life. Don't let that bum you out, because a lot of you may think, oh my gosh, I have a lot of access, but I sure don't see that power flowing in some of the areas of my life. That's what sanctification is all about. That's what our journey here on earth is about, is learning how to walk more and more in the Spirit, less and less with what we see, more and more with what we don't see by faith in what God's word says. Are you with me? Because the way you walk in wholeness is not the way the world walks. It's not the same way. It's totally different. It's not to your nature to walk the way God wants you to walk, because you were born of an old nature. When you get born again, you get a new nature. You get a new spirit, man. But you still have the mind that needs to be renewed because it still thinks like the world does. Gary said when we were leading worship, when you get saved, the devil just doesn't go, oh, you're saved now. Oh, he runs away. Oh, I'm scared. And then you live this perfect life, right? I wish it happened, but it doesn't. So there's still this battle, and we'll talk more about that in a second. So salvation is wholeness. Now, let's look how that practically works out. And this is where I want to get into the nitty-gritty so we get this concept down today. I want to talk about the connection. So there is a connection that we need to process in our own being. So we talked about God, right, being the all source, everything. And we talked about us plugging in, like the woman with the issue with blood plugged in. But what was happening and what happens in that in our being? Because we all know that we are a three-part being, right? We're a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a mind, will, and emotions, a soul. And in your notes there, I want you to understand and write in there whole being, because salvation, what we're talking about, wholeness, salvation, is for the whole being, not just for your spirit man, not just for your body, not just for your mind. It's the whole being. God cares about everything about you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole complete spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see God's design for you is that your whole being be saved. A lot of us think, and we get this picture of just, oh, just long as my spirit gets there and I don't, you know, my mind, and we try and split it all up and make it weird, but really God wants your whole being. You're a triune person. God's triune in nature, so are we. And God wants to save and bring to wholeness and completeness all of you, a sound mind, a body that's listening to the word of God and in tune with it and in alignment with it, and of course your spirit man, which we'll talk about. Another good verse to think on is 3 John 2, only one chapter, so 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Isn't it interesting? Think about that verse, because it has three areas. It has a prosper. It says, I pray that you prosper. So really, if you look at that word prosper, it talks about spiritually and physically. So you could talk about being prosperous, but we're not Christians. We're supposed to be poor and barely make it, aren't we? Isn't that godly? That we can barely pay bills and maybe have to borrow money and be in debt and not have anything? Isn't that what God wants?
No.
Some Christians believe that. Just saying. So God wants you to prosper. Why does he want you to prosper? So that you can hoard things and have a big house and a bunch of boats and stuff? No, he wants you to be prosperous material-wise so that you can live your life and pay your bills and have a house to live in and do that kind of stuff, but also to give away and to love people and to bring people in the kingdom and be a vessel of flow through, right? Right? We're to live like Jesus. What did Jesus do? Came from heaven. He was connected to the source. He came down, died. He plugged us in. He jolted that power down to us so that we could live that. We are to be the same as Jesus. Remember we talked about with our worship series? We are to continue what Jesus began to do and teach. That's what Luke, remember Luke who wrote Acts, also wrote Luke and said, in my former letter, I told you about, meaning in the Gospel of Luke, when he wrote Acts, he was thinking back and said, my former letter that I wrote to you guys, I told you what Jesus began to do. And then in Acts, he's telling you what we're to do now, which is to go be Jesus to the world. Are you with me? So you look at 3 John 2, and it says, may you prosper. So get that in your minds and start getting that other junk out of there. It says you have to be poor, down, depressed, and sad to be a Christian. That's malarkey. That's an old word. That's a Craig old word. Malarkey. My grandpa said that. It means a bologna sandwich, right? So prosper, not so that you're rich and you can have and do whatever you want. It's about being a blessing. With money, it's so cool because God talks more about money than heaven in the Bible. But God wants you to have money. He does, but he wants it to flow through you because God's a giver, and that's why he teaches in the tithe that you bring 10% of your income and give it to him as an obedient act because he's training you to get money and give it. Get and give out. Filled up vessel, pour out to others. Filled up, pour it out. Do you think, I'm going to use Mark and Leanne. Mark and Leanne, they're at our church. Some of you met them and know them, but they're in Arizona now, moving down there pretty soon. And they're retired. And I was talking to Jen the other day. I'm like, you know what's cool is like, what a blessing. God's done such a great thing in their life to where they learn to tithe and give. And now as a retired couple, they have the freedom to come to church, be a financial blessing to a church. They have the time to give and do ministry and work in the church and do all this great stuff for God and do small groups and teach and help and just work for God without having to be stressed out. And I thought, you know, and we were talking more about our retirement and planning what God wants and taking the financial peace class, which if you haven't taken, you should take, which helps you plan better. And we're thinking about, that's what I want to do. When I retire, I want to be able to have enough resource that I can fund church. I can support missionaries. I can send kids over to camp. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be a blessing and not barely scraping by, because a lot of people think that's what God wants. I don't believe that's God's will at all. God wants you to have enough so that you can be a blessing to others. Amen? So, material, and then it says, in all things that you prosper, in all things be in health, so physical health, and then just as your soul prospers. So we see this soul-body connection. And I want you to think about that. Health is connected to your soul. Healthy body is connected to the soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Don't forget that. The spirit, this is in your notes, firstly, is made whole at the rebirth. Okay? So this is where I'm going to need some volunteers. Who's feeling really spiritual today? Who knows who they are in Christ? Who's not? Whoa, maybe I should preach something else. Who knows who they are in Christ? Yeah, we've got two. Okay. Three. Oh, four. Okay. Let's see. Becca, why don't you come up? We'll have a female god today. Uh-oh, that's a lot of... Yes. So put this on, and I want you to stand over there, facing the crowd. And, all right. Who's spiritual? Come on up. Let's hurry up. T, are you spiritual? Come on up. Hey, Ken, where are you going? You better get back in here, boy. All right, stand right there. And then, all right, who's Mike? You got soul, don't you? He's a drummer. He's got soul. He's got rhythm. I don't know about soul. Is that what he's, okay? All right, Ken, come up, Ken. You got the body. You got the body, baby. Look at that big bulkiness.
Always.
All right. So we said the spirit is made whole at the rebirth. So I want to get this connection down, because once you understand this connection, your spiritual life will change. You'll start seeing things differently. So we have God. You have to do this. Power. Strength. Everything. So we have everything we need in God. Is that true? Is God whole? Would you describe him as whole, complete? Okay. Does he have any lack? Okay, so everything we need is there. Okay, so when we get saved, right? You can't see everybody? Oh, yeah, whoa, yeah. Keep those up. Can you, here, I need your hand. So we're going to put these right here. Don't forget. Okay, so when you get saved, right, through Christ, right, boom, you are connected. Your spirit man, right, is made perfect at rebirth. When you confess the Lord Jesus, you ask for forgiveness, you invite him in, you are born again. The Bible clearly states that your spirit is perfect. Now let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Okay? Look, 1 Corinthians 6:17, one of my favorite. He who is joined with the Lord is one. He who is joined to the Lord is one with him. So he is one in spirit. So are these two united now? Okay. I should have made you two since you're married. Because so we're united. So her spirit now and God are one. You don't decipher one. That's why the Bible says the two shall become one flesh. No longer, and what did Jesus say? Let not any man ever separate. So you're one. So your spirit, man, you are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
Say it like you believe it. I am a spirit, who has a mind and lives in a body. Okay, this body, sorry, Ken, is going to die one day and become nothing and worm food. Okay, we'll talk about that later. So union here. Are you with me? This is an important illustration, guys, because your spirit is perfect in Christ. So the real you, who's united with God in union, is completely whole, perfect. In fact, the word says that you are the righteousness of Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. So you are perfect when you're united there. Done, forever, perfect. Okay? Unfortunately, no, not unfortunately, but we all have a soul. And in our soul, we have our will, not the person will, but our will, the throne of our life, the decision-making process, what we have, we think we have, and we do have control over. In fact, your will is one of the most powerful things God ever given you, because you have the will, you have the choice. Angels didn't have the choice to rebel. So when they rebelled, they weren't created with that. So when they rebelled, that's why there's no redemption for them. They weren't created to have that. We were created with that redemption, with a choice, which is a beautiful thing. So, and then we have a mind and we have our emotions. So when we get saved, our spirit man is made perfect, but unfortunately, he has his own mind, okay? And now, so, oh wait, let's not connect this yet.
Oh, okay.
The body, yeah, the body, unfortunately, is tied into the mind. This looks really weird. I should have chosen different. I should have chosen a little better. So in your notes there, it says the body is slave to the mind. Okay, so the body, five senses, right? Touch, sight, all that stuff. The body, the physical body, is a slave to the mind. Whatever's going on in here, the natural byproduct of that will manifest in here. Okay? A lot of us, we think that, oh, my leg hurts, I'm sick, whatever, all that. We focus on the body part and we go, doctor, what can you do for me? Oh, and then they give us a medicine that doesn't heal us. It tries to help our body get maybe chemical balance, pain relief, all that other stuff. And I'm not saying that's bad, but it's just on the body itself. That's not the source. That's the band-aid. Thank you. And so what goes on in here, right, determines what goes on there. So if you're in your emotions and in your mind are anxious and worried and full of fear, your body will start doing that. So here's a good illustration. I've actually seen this when I prayed with people. Let's say in your mind, and you're going to talk for me.
Oh, joy.
And in your mind, you're entertaining thoughts of, I'm no good. Say it.
I'm no good.
I didn't do that right. Man, I blew that. Man, you stink. Yeah, I don't like you.
I don't like you at all.
You're so disappointing. I'm mad at you.
Very mad at you.
I'm really mad at you. Well, now I'm starting to hate you. Okay, now I'm mad at myself. I haven't forgiven myself. I've made mistakes, and I'm not going to let myself have the grace of God. I'm going to keep. So you're mad. Go like this. I'm mad. Okay. So he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Just don't interlock fingers. That would be weird. That's kind of a rule, huh? So now check this out. Now I hopefully you don't get offended, but this is truth. So he's saying, I don't like myself. I hate myself. So the body hears the soul, right, saying that. So the body now starts to hate itself. Thus we introduce into the body, right? And so I want you to go like this.
I hate myself.
Yeah, and start going like this.
Ooh, that hurts.
So what's introduced? Keep doing that.
Pain.
Yeah, pain. So the body, we introduce autoimmune disease into the body. The body, autoimmune disease is where the body starts attacking itself. In fact, there's a disease, and I'll think of it, where the nerve around the lining around the nerve is called the myelin sheath.
MS.
Starts eating away the myelin sheath. Your own body starts eating away what the God created in the body, because your soul area is very strong, and this is a big part. This is the battlefield, and so if I can convince him to hate himself, I can get the body to start destroying itself. So me, as the enemy, do I need to go over here and work on this guy? No, I'm going to simply work right here. Because whatever I can convince him of, you're stupid, you're dumb. I hate myself. What does he hear it? Remember, we talked about this earlier. He hears it as a thought.
Yep.
So he thinks it's him. He thinks, oh man, I screwed up. But here I'm bad, evil, going, I hate myself, man, oh man, I screwed that one up. And so he's hearing all this first person, I, thinking it's him, yet it's hell, trying to convince him to believe that he's no good, that he should start hating himself. And then automatically, the result of the body is just the sum of the equation. It's just the result. It's just going to happen. Are you with me? This is important for you guys to know. This will set you free and help you get on a journey back to wholeness. Because wholeness, a lot of the time, is made here. And so I want you to understand that the soul, this is in your notes, the soul will be made whole and changed through the renewing of your mind. That's in your notes. Write that down. Get that in your heart. Write it down, guys. Don't just get it in your hearts. The soul will be made whole through the renewing of your mind. So now, they're walking the earth. They're full of, this guy's full of all junk. His spirit's dead right now, sorry. And so they get saved, right? So when they got saved, boom, the spirit came alive.
Amen.
Right? Connected to God. Now we have this connection where the power of God, boom, your spirit man's perfect. It's ready to go. Now we have this warfare. Who's fighting? The spirit and the flesh. The flesh is crying out, I want my way. Feed me more ice cream. Worry. Be afraid. I make ice cream. Do I make ice cream references too? Every week I'm making ice cream references. I must like ice cream. So we have the soul. The body wants what it wants to do. The spirit man is connected to God and knows exactly what God wants, wants more of God, and we have this battle going. And unfortunately, the soul is where the battle rages, and this is where the renewing of the mind, he's all nervous, the renewing of the mind takes place right here. So as we get God's word and we start changing the way we think about ourselves, we can allow the power of God to flow through right here. Here's the throne. Are we going to sit on the throne of our hearts, or are we going to allow God to sit on the throne? Because if God's on the throne here, when someone whispers in, because here you have the flesh speaking loudly to the soul, feed me, I'm tired, I'm da-da-da-da whining. You have the enemy saying, oh, you're a jerk, blah, 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 trying to get you down. You also have your own person, doubts, fears, all that stuff in your soul. You're trying to figure it out, because not everything you hear is a devil or demon, but a lot of it is sometimes, and a lot of it's yourself, and a lot of it's your own flesh. Are you with me? So there's a lot of stuff speaking here. Getting all this, what brings peace? Well, when you start going, what's your standard? What do I believe? What voice am I hearing? You get into the Word of God and you know what God's Word says. Then you start allowing truth to flow. What did Jesus say? I am the truth. So truth comes from God. Now your spirit is full of truth, full of God. It's speaking truth. So this guy's got to go, I'm going to believe the truth. The truth is going to set me free. My body will respond to the truth in here. Are you with me? Thanks, guys. You can take those off.
Oh, we don't get to
keep them? You don't get
them. Good job, you guys. Good job.
My first acting job.
Your first acting job. Thank you. Oh, thank you. D? So I hope that helped, because it's important that you guys understand. Now, listen to this. And I kind of talked about how important the soul. We could do weeks and weeks on the soul and how to renew your mind and how to get that correct. So that's a big deal. But listen to this in James 1:21. Because I said in your notes, the soul will be made whole by the renewing of your mind. James 1:21 says this, Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Okay, so how does your soul get, and that word is sozo. It says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to sozo your soul. Not just rescue it out of something, but make your soul whole and complete and connected to God. What does that? The implanted logos, the implanted word. That same Greek word here in James 1:21, the implanted, the set in the foundational truths of the gospel of Jesus, the logos, can sozo, save, make whole your soul. Are you with me? That same word logos is used in John 1:1. And what does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the logos. Jesus is the word, guys. The word of God is powerful to save your soul. You need to get this spirit, soul, body connection so that you understand that your soul, your mind, your body, the thing you meditate on, the thoughts in your head are where the battle is fought. And you can, by the engrafted, implanted word of God, the sure foundation, the thing that never changes, guys, the word is the same yesterday. That's Foursquare's main logo that's supposed to be in every Foursquare church, and it says yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today. It's not changing. The word is true and holy. And once you get that engrafted and implanted in your word, it will sozo your life, your soul, and then your body will just naturally start responding to the healthy soul. Are you with me? Yeah. This can set you free if you get these concepts. So, in your notes there and finishing up, is God whole? Good, you filled in the number one. These are really easy ones. These are, you're all going to get 100%. Are you united with God?
Yes.
So the spirit and the God were united. They're one, right? So your spirit man is united. So does that make you one with God?
Yes.
Yeah, it does make you one. Your spirit man's one with God, yes. So you're connected, you're united, you're one with God. So what's the only thing holding back from 100% of God's flow in your life?
What?
The soul. The mind, the will, and emotions, renewing your mind, getting your mind to be in agreement or in union with God so that you can allow all of God's goodness to flow through your soul and come go into your body, right? So what do? God says in his heart, I love the world. I want everyone to be saved. The spirit's connected in one. Yeah, man, I love the world. I'm one with you. Yes, the world I love. The soul says, I'm hearing God loves the world, and I want to love the world. Yes, God, I want to love the world. I do. And so the body starts going, what? Oh, we're going to love the world? Okay. And then we go help somebody, build a fence, feed, preach, love, right? So the flow comes through. So and so if God's love for the world is to go do the gospel, see how that flows through, the only thing that can hold that back or confuse it or mess it up or get it distorted by the time it gets to the body is your soul and mind if it's not in alignment with God's word. That's why we use the word as our plumb line, as our standard, so that we do what's right. So if God's whole here and he's unlimited in resources, your spirit's connected to him, so your spirit now is unlimited in resource because he's connected to God. If the soul can go, now the soul has to have faith. This is where you got to believe. You got to have faith and believe. So, okay, God, yeah, no, I believe. I'm connected. Okay, boom. I'm connected. Now my body will start responding by faith. The power of God is able to flow, so all the resources come, and whatever need I have in my body, there's my source. If I get connected and get the roadblocks out and get it unjammed, I can be receiving all that God has for me. And even when right now I might be in a country where I'm suffering for the gospel's sake and I'm about ready to get my head chopped off and I'm scared and I'm afraid and my soul is freaking out, but he's connected to the spirit and he knows that if I suffer with Christ and if I become a martyr, I get a special thing in heaven. Oh man, but it's scary at the same time. I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm sweating. But I'm going to trust you. He's my source. I've trained my mind and my soul to trust and believe and do God's word so that when a trial comes, I'm not freaked out and I'm not going to go back to my old ways because my mind is being renewed. My mind has old patterns of thinking in it from my unsaved years, all my years of doing what I wanted. It has those built into my mind. So my My mind wants to do what was done for 35, 40 years because it's natural. But as I renewed my mind to God's word over and over, it's transforming those old patterns back to the new patterns that God wants me. So when I come to that trial, I consider it pure joy, my brethren, when I come into various trials, because now I know that God's working in me to be something greater than myself. And now my body starts doing the things that God does and starts living like God, acting like God, thinking like God, being like God. Are you with me? And I know if I want more of that, but we got to know, we got to understand this connection so that we all can press into God and become whole. Yeah. I want you whole. I want to be whole. I'm in my journey. You're in your journey. We might all be at different places, but we're all in a journey. But their commonality is that we've got to start taking control and submitting our hearts and our minds to God and renewing those minds so they get old patterns out, new patterns in. New God pattern, so that we don't stop up the electrical flow of power through us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, in your notes, if you are, fill in the blank there, if you are one with God, then you now have full access to everything He has. Do I hear an amen for that? That should be exciting. If you are one with God, then you now have full access to everything God has. Then your next check mark there, this is by legal right. I know that sounds tough for some of you, but I'm going to talk more to that, because it was God's idea to set up a covenant, not ours. It was God initiated, and He wanted to set it up so that we could have in our minds and hearts, no, this is a sure thing. We're going to talk about that sure thing next week. So second check mark, by legal right. Now the third check mark, I want you to check off in your hearts. Those who are one with Jesus have entered into a legal contract with the Father. Those who are one with Jesus have entered into a legal contract with the Father. So now we have an interesting thought process after we've understood this connection. Now we're going to look, next week we're going to look at the basis of that connection and the surety that we have, because all this process is all based on legalities in heaven that God has ensured that will never be broken. And it's for your good so that you can have faith and trust. That's why He did. He don't need it, but He knew you would need it and I would need it, so that's why He did it. So He set up a new and a better covenant through Christ. Isn't that exciting? The last thing in your notes is a principle that we need to get to, is understanding the new covenant. First fill in the blank. Understanding the new covenant is foundational to walking in wholeness. So understanding what Jesus did in the new covenant, what is in the new covenant, what are the requirements in the new covenant, what do you need to do, is essential in walking in wholeness. Who wants to walk in wholeness? Are you with me? Kind of? You're just like, yeah, hurry, get over. I'm hungry for lunch. I'll walk in anything right now. I'll walk to Dunkin' Donuts. Get some ice cream. All right. Good stuff. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for today. Lord, we thank You so much for the provision You've given us. We thank You so much that, God, You have done abundantly above whatever we could think, ask, or imagine, God. In this process, this connection, this abundant life You called us to is too good for us. Our minds really can't even comprehend it because it's so good. But we're so very incredibly thankful because we believe You. We believe it is for us. And we believe everything You did through Christ, we're going to trust You with it. We're going to go for it. We're going to press in, and we're going to bend every energy we have to get it all that You have for us, God, because we want more and more of You, God, so that more and more of You will be let out from us to the world. And God, we praise You for that, and we give You glory. And with every head bowed and eye closed, just want to give a quick opportunity. If anyone has not clasped arms with Jesus, like we showed in this illustration, you've never been connected or plugged into Jesus, you've never made that commitment, and the way you get connected to Jesus is that you ask Him and you confess your sin, you ask Him to come in and live inside you and create a new heart in you. And if you've never done that, you want to do that today, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor Doug, I've never made that, I've never clasped arms with Jesus, and I want to do that today. I've never made the connection with Christ. I've never submitted my will to Him completely, and I want to do that today. Here's an opportunity for you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, yeah, that's me? Anyone here say, yep, that's me, Pastor. I want to get connected to Christ. So Lord, you see the hearts. You see all of us, God, as we really are. So God, I pray that you would help us over the next several weeks to challenge us to think differently about what you've provided for us in your word. Lord, clarify, expose any wrong thinking in us. Help us see more clearly. And Holy Spirit, we continue to invite you to lead us into all truth so that we could be set free in every area of our life, God. We want to be complete and whole. And so that's our prayer, God. And thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for helping us get these concepts in our minds and hearts today. And please continue to teach us through the week. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen.